Getting back into our take, we were talking about your favorite ball players and how you looked at the opposition. They were literally your enemies.
Well, that's the way I felt. That's the way I was taught to feel all through my career, that don't associate with the opposition if you can just stay away from it. And I didn't. But my favorite players, of course, I always liked to watch Williams hit. I think everybody that ever liked anything about baseball would watch him. Everything stopped when he'd hit batting practice or during the game. And DiMaggio, there were different ones that Luke Appling, he was an odd stance type guy, but you liked to watch him hit and what he could do with that bat, what bat control he had as far as fouling off pitches and just staying in there.
Did you ever get a chance to play against any of the players from the Negro Leagues in those days, or barnstorming tours or anything like that?
Oh, I take it back. One year, with Earl Mack's barnstorming team, we went from Minneapolis on up through the West and every place, clear up into Victoria and Vancouver, British Columbia, and back to Edmonton and Calgary. But we did play in Milwaukee against I don't know what team it was now, but there was a Negro Major League team, one of the league teams.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I pitched against them that day, and we beat them. They got a couple of runs off me, but I remember one guy's name in particular, Double Duty Radcliffe. He was a pitcher and a catcher.
Not at the same time.
No, of course not. But he was a... he caught and then he pitched.
You always hear about cool Papa Bell being able to be in bed before the light turned on.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
Radcliffe could do the same thing, throw it and catch it.
Yeah, right. But that's then there was the Cleveland teams. I used to like to watch Twitchy Dick Porter. That he did so much moving the bat around, but he was always ready when the pitch was ready. And of course, I didn't see any of the National League players. Only some of the Giants in our spring trips, and then Cincinnati Reds too in our spring trips for a few years, a couple of years. But during the regular season, I never saw a National League game.
Speaking of the National League, when you played the Cardinals in the 44 World Series, did the Browns scout the Cardinals the way baseball teams scout the opposition for the World Series today?
I don't know. If they did, we never got any reports in the clubhouse about how to do anything. I just knew from a friend, ex-teammate, Fritz Ostermuller, who told me, he said, pitch the Cardinals inside, mostly, which I did. And
it worked marvelously well for
me. Right. He said, pitch inside to them, because if they get out of way and extend their arms, they can give you some trouble. And I did. That's what I tried to do all the time. I even threw sliders inside to right-hand hitters.
As a scout, now you've been scouting since 1951.
Right.
40 years. Who were your some of your prize selections?
A boy named Frank Bauman, out of St. Louis. Ken McBride out of Cleveland. Galen Sisko, who's a pitching coach for Toronto now. John Warden, the left-hand pitcher with the 1968 the Tigers, that won the World Series. A kid named John Knox, and then quite a few kids that I'm missing some. Oh, Bill Long, he had a fairly decent major league career. Just this year, I think he's through in the majors. And the minor leaguers have got a cup of coffee or so. I had one guy named Bill Schlesinger that hit 40-some home runs in the minor leagues, and he got up with the Red Sox for a cup of coffee, but the curveball got to him. He couldn't handle it.
Gets to a lot of us.
Yeah, yes, it does that. But and Arnold Early with the Red Sox, left-hand pitcher. I was in on him with the fellow from Detroit. He was from the Detroit area.
Most of the fellows you've mentioned are pitchers. Do you specifically, being a pitcher yourself, look for pitchers?
I look for all players, but it seems as though I can relate better to pitchers. And I expect too much of hitters. Now I've got right now I've got Andy Benes, the pitcher,
mm-hmm.
and I've got Thomas Howard, the outfielder.
Yeah, who had a good year
with the Padres, and of course I had the little Joey Cora, who's now with the White Sox.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good year. I mean, Andy Benes came on like gangbusters in the second half of this season.
He finally woke up.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's strong. Great stamina. Good control for as hard as he throws. He makes those corners. And of course, he's gotten over the attitude of why does this have to happen to me when somebody does something, or, you know, he's going to battle on through it now, which made a great change about in his career.
Talking about John Smoltz in the most recent World Series, going to see a sports psychiatrist,
uh-huh.
psychologist, for the express purpose of learning how to deal with those moments of setback.
And frustration, yeah. That's what Benes was having trouble with, I guess. Then I've got a few other minor leagues. I can't name them all right now. Oh, Eli.
What do you look for, though, in a young pitcher? Do you look for his speed, velocity, control?
Movement of the ball.
Okay.
I'd rather have a guy throw 85 miles or 84 miles an hour that's got good movement on the ball than I would have an 88 mile an hour straight fastball that don't move. It's just straight. Because you can't throw it by these hitters at this day and age with the light bats they use. Excuse me. So it's a matter of a combination of movement and velocity and location of the pitch. Control.
Mm-hmm.
Not only control to be able to throw strikes, but keep it out of the middle and keep it in the one of the four quadrants of the strike zone.
You talk about that now. Did your coaches talk about that same philosophy when you were a young ball player just learning the trade of pitching?
Not as much. If they did, I don't remember that much. Of course, we didn't have minor league. We didn't have coaches. The manager was it.
He was the whole show.
He was the whole show at Downtown. He was the whole show at Fort Wayne, and the manager was the manager at New Orleans had a catcher, an old time catcher that he was carrying on the club as a coach, a base coach, but he didn't work with pitchers or anything. And up in Minneapolis, Donnie Bush was it, and older players, that was it.
You didn't have all that intensified coaching and strategizing that you have today.
In Cleveland, they had a manager and two coaches, I think it was. They didn't coach Johnny Bassler. Who the heck was the other one now? Isn't that funny? And I think there was another one, but there weren't many.
The game has improved to a great extent in terms of teaching fundamentals, or at least attempting to teach.
Figuring out percentages and so forth as to who does what against whom and all that.
Yeah, there's computers have entered the game in a big way, and everybody knows exactly what so-and-so has done against this pitcher, that pitcher, how these pitchers fare against this team.
And how this guy hits with the scoring position, the guys in scoring position, and how he hits when they're way ahead or way behind as compared to when the game's on the line. There's a lot of difference.
You were with Cleveland, am I correct, when Bob Feller joined the Indians?
Yes, I was, and he took my starting turn. It was my turn, his first start in the major league.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's an interesting... Oh.
Excuse me.
All right, the phone call interrupted our conversation, but something I didn't realize was that Bob Feller made his debut taking your turn in the rotation.
That's right. He came up as a high school kid, a 16-year-old kid, and worked out, and he threw so good that they said, well, they're playing an exhibition game with the Cardinals. And Steve O'Neill, the manager, hadn't caught for a while. He caught him, and of course, he had such a funny delivery at that time. It looked like he was looking over third base. And the Cardinals, being an exhibition game, they were staying out of there. He struck out eight of the nine outs, and looked good. And of course, after that, the next time, after he was rested up, it was my turn to pitch. Steve O'Neill came to me and said, we're going to use Bob in your place because we don't know how far he can go, how wild he'll get or anything, but we've got to take advantage of the publicity he's got in that exhibition games with the Cardinals and draw some more people in here to see him in his start, first start. I said, okay. He said, you go down to the bullpen and start warming up like you're going to start the ball game, and just warm up and be ready. Then he'll go out and pitch the game. Well, in the very first inning, he got down to 3-2 on the first hitter and walked him. He got down to 3-2 on the second hitter and struck him out. He got 3-2. This sounds repetitious, but he got 3-2 on the third hitter and walked him. 3-2 on the fourth hitter and struck him out. 3-2 on the fifth hitter and walked him. That's the bases loaded. Mm-hmm. 3-2 on the sixth hitter and struck him out. Now all this time, any moment, I'm expecting to go in. So here it is. He's pitched to six hitters in the first inning, walked three and struck out three. And I'm down there throwing. Well, that's the way it went. Not quite that bad, but...
That's almost 40 pitches in the first inning.
Yeah.
At least.
So he kept going. And finally, after about the sixth inning, he said every time he goes out to pitch, you get up and start throwing. So in the sixth inning, he sent word down. He said, sit down and we'll use somebody else if we have to have relief. Well, the story finishes up, but the fella pitched the whole ball game and struck out, I believe it was 16, the St. Louis Browns at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was in the rotation ever since. I got to pitch some afterwards, but that was my turn to pitch at that time.
That's another little bit of history that's rather interesting.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to conclude the interview by thanking you for your time. I hope that you've enjoyed sitting and chatting about this, your baseball career, as much as I have had enjoyment listening to you. And Danny Gailhouse, I just want to take time to, on behalf of the Society for American Baseball Research, thank you for this morning, and best of luck to you in the future.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure doing this.